The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, just under 500 people nationwide were in hospital yesterday with flu and other winter-related illnesses. Around three quarters of those not having been immunised by the flu jab. In the UK, the number in hospital with flu has jumped 55% in the space of just a week. It adds to concerns that this year the flu could peak early in the run-up to Christmas. It means we could be in store for one of the worst seasons of flu we've seen in recent years. Now, joining me for more on this, we have Tomás Confrey, who's a pharmacist at Care Plus at Pier Street in Dublin. And on the line, Brendan O'Shea, Kildare-based GP and medical director at KDOC. Good morning and welcome to you both. Brendan, we'll talk to you first about what's coming into your surgery, or are they staying remote and doing it by phone?
It's a mix of things, and it's always fascinating to see households and families in this situation where so many of them do quite a brilliant job and knock the ball out of the park, often by the application of common sense and knowledge, sometimes with a little bit of technology, that if you're fielding a phone query, for example, from a household that can check a blood pressure, that can do pulse oximetry, or if it's an asthmatic and they can check their own peak flow, then the telephone call can be actually very well based and can be very helpful. And then on the other hand, there are households that are kind of worn down by anxiety, by exhaustion, by concern, and where there's blind panic. So there's a real spectrum there. But I think there are lots of good signposts. Over the last decade, the information on the HSE website on just about anything has gotten progressively better. Our colleagues in pharmacy have seen their role significantly expand, giving informal and sometimes formal advice around minor conditions that stops them from being major conditions. So there's a lot of variety out there. It's very rapidly moving, and we're absolutely in for busy months. The 500 extra admissions you're talking about are happening in the context of a total bed complement of about 11,000 acute beds operating already at a very high level of demand. So it is important. We all need to be on our game. And if people do their best, it'll work out okay.
Now, we get advice from the HSE about those groups who are vulnerable. This particular flu, I mean, as a GP, Brendan, when people come to you, and you probably would prefer they stayed away and did it by phone, when they come to you, can you distinguish that this one is different to previous strains?
Well, you've got to be very careful there and not confidently say, yes, of course we can. But there are principles, and I suppose GP superpowers on a good day particularly includes knowledge of the household and the individual and their long-term medical history, knowing people over years. That's personal care. It's not always available. It's not available in the volumes that we want. But when it's working, it actually works quite well. So if you have people who are well clued in, who are knowledgeable about their condition, and large proportions of people are, all those people who got the flu vaccines, well done. And those people who haven't, it's still absolutely worthwhile coming in getting them, because new cases are going to continue trending for the next several months. Get the flu vaccine, get your COVID boosters if you haven't done so already. So like I say, when it's done well, it works very smoothly, and there's a great efficiency. In general practice, we are busy, but we're being funded to put on extra clinics as part of the winter initiative, or whatever they're calling it now. So in general practices across the country, we're seeing how we can actually put extra hours of clinic time on in our clinics and in the cooperative.
Now, we know that the current flu vaccine, the normal one, doesn't give total protection against this variant of a strain. That question about, you know, people would be saying, if it doesn't protect me, why should I get it? What do you say to them?
Well, they would be wrong. And it's not about them. We're a very connected society. We mostly are fortunate to live in households. Small percentage of people live on their own. But it goes back to the principle of herd immunity, if you like. And if you just make it more difficult for the virus to travel, you will reduce the level of acute viral illnesses. And as we can see, and we're looking at this from the selfish healthcare perspective, that frees up our acute hospital beds. GPs around the country have also been inundated with people whose critical care has been deferred or delayed. That operation has been pushed down the line for another 1 to 2 weeks. Treatment of major cancers, for example, are impacted by this. So let's not try and look at it in a selfish manner. It's not about me. It's about the community. It's about the house. It's about the village. It's about the town that I live in. It's about the local hospital. So let's be broad in our thinking. The science behind vaccines is incredibly strong. Do not be a Donald Trump or a Kennedy Luddite. Do the scientific thing. Do the responsible thing. We're trying to make it as quick and as easy as we can. And again, the points at which people can get immunized, there are a whole lot of different points people can get immunized, and it's not too late. It's actually a great time to get immunized this week or next week. Get booked in for it.
Now, we often think of viruses kind of thinking little things. They are organisms, and we think of them as trying to find a way around the barriers that we set up. So you have a vaccine that works very well this year, but the little virus is working on it. How can I get around that vaccine for next year? And that's what's happened to some extent, isn't it, with this one?
Well, we can't be surprised about it. This happens every year. It is just the way of things. But again, we can stand back and we can look at ourselves in Ireland, and there are some things we do terribly badly at and there are some things we do well. Average life expectancy in Ireland is among the highest. It has continued to increase. It has increased throughout the pandemic even. We are arguably knocking it out of the park, partly because we've got this joined up thinking. Getting with prevention, getting better at managing the common things well, there is a margin. So, yes, there will be more mutations, and almost certainly there are going to be more superbugs. Sorry, what am I saying? There are definitely going to be more superbugs. Then on the other hand, if we can build in this resilience into households, if we can have more care provided earlier in the community, we can prevent viral illnesses turning into pneumonias. That can be done significantly through primary prevention with the vaccine, through taking the correct steps by getting the right advice, ultimately by being seen, by being evaluated. And if all the parts, it's like a rugby match, you know, you've got to be good at the line out, the scrum, as well as the kicking game. And certainly in the community, it's been very edifying to see over the last 10 or 20 years that there has been improvements in these areas, driven by everybody being responsible. So get out and get your vaccine, please.
Now, I remember when we were doing the COVID thing, and we had a lot of coverage on this program about COVID, and people were testing themselves, you know, I'm still infectious, so I won't go into work, I won't go near people, even though I'm feeling actually pretty well. I know from the test I'm still infectious. What about the passage of this flu and its different stages? At what point are you no longer going to give it to somebody else?
Well, you're looking for a complete answer on this one, and I'm afraid we can't have it. And people do get very interested in exactly what species or what, exactly which bugs are travelling. In general practice, that probably matters to a lesser extent. It is very interesting watching people around a bus stop, watching them in a newsagent, in a petrol station, in a cinema queue. And you can see the spectrum of being ultra careful, almost paranoid about it, to being very lackadaisical and coughing and spluttering everywhere. Mm. So we can be responsible for ourselves. We can be responsible for our household. We can use the resources that are available. You cannot know you're infectious for the first 5 or 7 days. That's the incubation period where you're carrying a virus and you may not have any symptoms. The most highly infectious time is the next 5 days. This is where you're obviously running a rapid pulse, you're snuffling, you're coughing, you're beginning to sneeze. That's highly infectious. You're carrying and elaborating a huge viral load. Then as the immune system begins to respond to that, the second 5 or 7 days, the florid symptoms are beginning to recede and you are less infectious. So it's very hard to find a one-size rule fits all for this. Are you engaging with somebody who is medically vulnerable or complex? Are you working in healthcare? Are you working with the public? Then arguably there's a case for you to be diligent and careful. We learned lots of great things in the pandemic, Survive the Pandemic book. Social distancing actually really works. You made reference to telephone consulting. We do a huge amount of that on the cooperative, and I think it varies from practice to practice. But certainly during the pandemic, telephone consulting was proven to be safe, effective and very acceptable. And it's very quick. It's also kinder on the environment, not travelling from A to B and sitting in congested waiting rooms. So if you're worried or concerned, consider asking for a telephone consultation. And if you have a complex, frail, elderly person, if you can measure their blood pressure, check their pulse, check their pulse oximetry, and the technology for this, you're talking about 60 quid's worth of technology. But it really makes a difference, and it adds objective certainty to a telephone consultation.
Now, when you look at your cohort of patients, do kids generally get through it much quicker?
It all varies on the kids in the household.
Okay.
Are there people smoking in the household? Is there good nutrition? Are these fit kids who are able to exercise? Are they loved to bits? And if the answer to all those questions is a yes, then they're going to have a better experience. But we also know that there are many households under serious stress and pressure, and it is different. So the pre-existing knowledge of the individual, of their household, of their community, it is one of our GP superpowers on the good days. We all know people who are isolated. We all know households that are under stress. It is Christmas. This is really a time to reach out casually, but make it your business. Much more useful than buying more Christmas presents that probably many people don't.
Now, Brendan, I'll fire a few questions at you, and some of them harking back to what we did in COVID. I got my regular flu vaccine in October. Will it still help? Should I also keep using hand sanitizer? I do gigs at the weekend, and not only do I use sanitizer on my hands, but also on my face and neck. That's from Peter in Dublin.
That's a yes, 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 and I'm not sure about using it on your face and neck, but that's a yes to all the other questions.
Can I have my COVID and flu vax on the same day, or will that make me feel unwell?
We know that you may have some localized soreness and tenderness. People get these vaccines. The vaccines do take several weeks to click in, and they won't protect against all strains. So it does happen that people get the vaccines, and within 3 or 5 days, they're coming out floridly with viral illnesses. That doesn't mean that the vaccine isn't going to work for the rest of the winter. Did we say something about the vaccine? Get the vaccines.
Yeah. Is there ever going to be a test for flu like the COVID test, you know, the antigen test that you can just do yourself and know definitively whether you have it or not?
Well, that's a very clever question, and I don't know the answer to it, but I suspect if you went searching on the interweb, you'd almost certainly find kits to test everything that your heart could desire and your purse could afford. But the big question is it useful to do all this? And for the majority of people who are fortunately reasonably well and healthy, having the exact precise diagnosis is not as useful as knowing whether they're becoming acutely sick or not in a serious medical way. So it's far more useful, instead of buying those fancy kits online, to actually, if you've got somebody who's got bad chronic obstructive airways disease, if they've got complex diabetes, if they've got a malignancy, it's far better to have a blood pressure cuff in your house and to have a pulse oximeter, which is 20 or 30 quid and 40 quid respectively.
Okay.
These are more useful things if you've got a medically complex individual in your household.
Another question, how do you know it is flu and not just another bad cold?
Well, the bad cold is likely to be characterized by localized symptoms, a bit of a sore throat, maybe a bit of a runny nose and a cough. When you start getting significant myalgias, when your muscles begin to go on fire, when you get a serious headache, when you're profoundly tired and joint pains, then it's more likely to be influenza. But more importantly than either of those two scenarios is you or the person that you love. Have they got a significant background medical condition? Is it well controlled or not? What's their previous history been like? Have they had an pneumonia on a previous occasion? These are the questions that allow us to make reasonable decisions regarding when to escalate care and in those rare cases where we've got to consider an evaluation in an emergency department.
Just the last two questions. If you had a bad reaction to a previous flu vaccine, what do you do? That's from Phil.
You discuss it with your GP is fast advice. And again, people, it's good to tease it out. What do they mean by a bad reaction? And frequently what it means is it means that earlier scenario. I went along and got a vaccine on Monday and by Thursday I was dying with pains and aches and flus and whatnot. But just to understand the science around that, that vaccine that was given on Monday will provide future protection in about 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
To significant numbers of pathogens. So it is absolutely well worth having. And that scenario is not a bad reaction to the flu vaccine. That is a flu vaccine followed by a viral illness that was incubating while the vaccine was given.
The final question for you before I talk to Tomás Confrey, the pharmacist, is what percentage of frontline health staff have got the flu vaccine? That's from Sean. You may not know the exact number, but the answer is probably not enough.
The answer is totally not enough. And it's difficult to know what to say about that. I think some of us, we have our own method. Well, I'd like to confess up, I've had everything. I always get everything as soon as I can get it. It's one of the perks of the job in general practice. But I think on the healthcare side, I think sometimes we have myths about our own invincibility. You know, that couldn't happen to me or I won't get it. But this is an area we need to do harder. It's a vulnerability in the system. So again, it is to be encouraged, it's to be supported, and we've got to be really persistent about it. This is not going away anytime. And I think we've said it already this morning four times. If you haven't gotten it so far, you're still in really good time to get it next week.
Very good. Dr. Brendan O'Shea, Kildare-based GP and Medical Director at KDOC, thank you very much. Now, listening to all of that conversation, Tomás Confrey, who's a pharmacist at Care Plus in Pier Street in Dublin. Tomás, morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you have people coming in to you because you're maybe the nearest port of call, and they're saying, I have the flu. What do you say to them?
Well, really, I have a chat with them, Pat, and just see what their symptoms are. Like, you know, if it's really the full-blown flu, the things like the doctor was saying, you know, like they have a fever, sore throat, muscle pain, a kind of lethargy or weakness as well, and perhaps nausea, you know, really they're struck down. Whereas if somebody just has a blocked nose or a runny nose, it's probably just a little cold. Like, it's been a busy week this week, Pat. Irrespective of the time of year, irrespective of Christmas, we've had a lot of people coming in with these kind of symptoms. And also, we've had a big demand for people to get their flu vaccinations ahead of Christmas as well, just based on the news from the last few days.
Now, when people come in, you know, viruses, there's nothing you can do. That there are no real antiviral or viral cures that you can offer, except for things like cold sores, Zovirax, and all of that. But you can address their symptoms. So what do you give them, or what do you recommend they buy?
So it depends on the person themselves. Perhaps if they're in good health, really the best thing that we can do is like treat their symptoms. Like, for example, they might have aches and pains, give them some paracetamol, some ibuprofen. If they have a stuffed up nose, maybe a decongestant nasal spray and some Vic. I remember my mum used to put Vic on my chest when I was younger and on my nose when they used to have a cold or when I was unwell. There's lots of little small remedies that people can get from their pharmacies, and also advice as well, especially, you know, the doctor was saying about, you know, people ringing practice GP practices, not having to present to the practice. We're at the end of the phone as well. So if somebody feels they're not well enough or perhaps suspect they have flu, feel free, pick up the phone, ring your local pharmacy, talk to the local pharmacist. He or she will be able to advise you on your symptoms alone. And that might give some reassurance. Perhaps they may have some of that stuff at home already. If not, we'd be able to tell them, well, you need to get some paracetamol, perhaps, maybe a decongestant nasal spray, perhaps some Vicks VapoRub or a similar product.
Now, do you ask people or suggest to people that they mask up like they used to in COVID?
It depends on the situation, Pat. Some people now, I know one lady in particular, she's a carer and she's quite concerned about the person she's caring for. So when she comes in to see us, she always wears a mask. It depends. If somebody's feeling unwell, I would certainly suggest to put the mask on. I know my own situation. I had a dose a few weeks ago. I put a mask on. But really, it depends on the situation. If somebody feels perhaps they don't want to get it, or perhaps they have symptoms, or they're afraid something is developing, in that case, I'd suggest, just for peace of mind, put on a mask.
Now, people want to monitor as much as they can at home, and time-wise, every household probably had a thermometer. But now more and more people are looking, say, for blood pressure cuffs. One listener wants to know, could you recommend a specific blood pressure cuff for home use?
There's a couple of different types. We sell a brand called Microlife. I know off the top of my head now, I can't think of too many different brands, but pharmacies have a range of that sort of equipment, and it's not very expensive. I mean, you're looking maybe €30 perhaps for a basic one. And like, really, I thought that was great advice by the doctor about, you know, having a pulse oximeter, you know, something for your blood pressure, to have them at home, because I mean, you've done a lot of the work already by the time you contact your doctor or your pharmacist with that information. So, I mean, you're kind of getting ahead of the job by doing that work and bringing that information to the call.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the smartwatches now have blood oxygen monitors on them, and
That's true.
Can know. And if you're not getting what would be the, anything over 95 is probably okay, but anything less than 90 is something to worry about.
Yes, definitely, most definitely.
Okay, a couple of questions about the flu vaccine when pregnant. Would you recommend it? Another one, I'm 8 months pregnant, got my vaccine, surrounded in an office by sick people, coughing, sneezing, head colds. Employers are insisting on people doing 2 or 3 days in the office, and it's helping everything to spread like wildfire. All employers should be telling people, if you're sick, work from home, or else declare yourself too sick to work at all, be it at home or in the office, and react accordingly. So that question of pregnancy, first of all, and the flu vaccine.
It's one of the at-risk groups that are recommended to get the flu vaccine, and it's free of charge as well. So if somebody's pregnant, they're able to avail of it free of charge. As long as you're in some of the at-risk groups, you can avail of the flu vaccine free of charge. Say you're immunocompromised, if you're over 60 years of age, if you're a HSE worker, now we were talking about vaccinations earlier on, and healthcare workers not being vaccinated, healthcare workers can actually avail of the flu vaccine free of charge. So it's not like they even have to pay for it themselves.
Yeah, one text says it should be compulsory for healthcare staff to get the flu jab. No jab equals no work plus no pay. That might be a bit draconian, but really it's inexplicable unless people have particular allergies to any of the substances in those jabs. There's no excuse for healthcare workers not being vaccinated.
Yeah. I recommend all my staff to get it. I get it myself. I get the COVID booster and I get the flu vaccine. Really, we're in the front line here. We've people coming in every day who are sick. And it's a long winter. It can be a long winter. So I think it's important that we give ourselves the best protection.
Okay, but without putting you on the spot, you say that you recommend. Do you not insist that they get the jab?
I do. Well, you can only do so much fat. I strongly encourage them, and I'm continuously recommending it to them. And at this stage, they know me. They're fed up listening to me. I think it's just a case of we'll get it done, get it out of the way, get them off our back.
What's the best defense if you haven't done anything yet, no vaccines yet? Would it be vitamin D or vitamin C or neither or both?
I think a bit of both. I mean, there's still time to get vaccination as well. Like I said, we've had a very busy week for doing flu vaccinations. And like we have a big, busy week lined up next week as well. I think if people want to avail of the vaccine, now's the time. Just, ring your pharmacy or ring your GP's practice and make an appointment.
By the way, are you doing the nasal jab or not jab, the vaccination?
The spray
for kids?
We were, Pat, now, the stock is gone now, Pat, but we were doing it, the stock expired on Tuesday. Now, it's been administered in a lot of schools, so I know a lot of children in schools would have gotten it as well. And we were doing it up until Tuesday when the stock expired.
Now, the reason I'm asking you this, Tomás, is a texter says, I've been searching for an appointment in Dublin 12 all morning. There are no more appointments available for the rest of the month for children's flu vaccine. What are we then supposed to do? So,
unfortunately, the option is the injection. That's the only option there, Pat. I don't think there's any new stock come in yet. I'm not sure. I think it's just the only option left is the needle.
And by the way, I mean, the jab is nothing to write home about. It's not a scratch.
No.
It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing.
Exactly.
Very good. Look, Tomás, thank you very much for staying on the line and talking to us. That's Tomás Confrey, who's a pharmacist at CarePlus at Pierce Street in Dublin.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.